You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
I'm Jonathan Capehart in today for Leonard Lopate. This is WNYC and WNYC.org. Have you ever wondered why some of your 40-year-old friends look like they're 60, while some 80-year-olds look and act like they're still in their 50s? Well, according to the latest scientific research, the secret to healthy aging lies in our telomeres. The doctors are here. They're going to tell me. The telomeres in our telomeres segments of non-coding DNA that form caps at the ends of our chromosomes and determine how quickly our cells will age. So here today to talk about telomeres and the steps we can take, we can all take to keep them healthy, are Dr. Elizabeth Blackburn, who received the 2009 Nobel Prize for Medicine, along with two colleagues, for her discoveries about telomeres and is president of the Salk Institute. And I'm also joined by Dr. Alyssa Epple, I pronounced that correctly.
Yep.
Alyssa Epple, a professor of psychiatry at the University of California at San Francisco's Medical School and the director of its Aging, Metabolism, and Emotions Lab. Elizabeth Blackburn and Alyssa Epple are co-authors of The Telomere Effect, a revolutionary approach to living younger, healthier, longer. It's just out from Grand Central Publishing, and I'm pleased that it brings both of them to the show today. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. We're so happy to be here.
Thank you.
Okay, so I will admit I had never heard of telomeres before preparing for our segment today. So we got to go all the way back to the beginning. And Liz Blackburn, I want to start with you because it was your research in pond scum.
Yep.
That got us to this point where we're here in the studio. What was it about pond scum that got us to telomeres?
Well, pond scum have lots of very tiny chromosomes. And if you remember, chromosomes are what carry our genetic information, our genes, our DNA. And these chromosomes are linear, which means they have ends. And that's just like our chromosomes. But pond scums are very tiny and they grow fast and have lots of chromosomes. So it was a way to find out what is at the ends of chromosomes. Now, they're called telomeres, and we knew that they were very protective of the genes, but nobody knew what they were made of and how they were replenished over time. And that's what my research in very basic science to begin with took us into, which was like, oh, this is what's at the ends of chromosomes. It's this very repeated DNA, non-coding DNA, but it's like a buffer that sheaths the ends of chromosomes. And you know what? We make a little analogy. If we think of a chromosome, our genetic material, as being like a shoelace, then the telomeres are like the little tips at the ends of the shoelaces.
Those little plastic things that over time fray and deteriorate
over time,
or disappear.
Yes, if you have a shoelace that's lost its aglet, its tip, then it frays away and the shoelace won't work. And in the same way, when that happens to our DNA, our chromosome ends, and it does happen as we age, our cells get older and older, the telomeres get more and more worn down. And that, it turns out, a lot of basic science to begin with, and then studies in humans showed us, and this was hundreds of studies now in humans, that wearing down of the telomeres is causing cells to not function and work properly, and that in turn increases risks of the kinds of diseases and conditions that shorten our health span. So that was the journey from basic science in pond scum all the way to humans.
And so when the telomeres, they wear down, they fray, is there a way? There are ways to repair them.
Yes,
it's not that like when your shoelace, you go out and get
a
new shoelace.
That's right.
It's gone.
That's right. So what can restore telomeres is an enzymatic activity that we discovered actually initially in pond scum, and you can think of it as simply building back up and replenishing those little protective teeth sheaths at the ends of the chromosomes. And for some reason, humans, you know, with life expectancies in developed societies of something like 80 years. Over those decades of years, the telomere maintenance can't quite keep up with that wearing down. But the very interesting part is that you can influence that balance throughout your life. And the book is all about how it's not just our genes that make that rate of telomere attrition vary, but all the kinds of things that we can do and that happen during our lives.
Okay, so now that everybody knows what telomeres are and what they do and how they can be worn down, and now the good news of how you can try to keep them as healthy and firm, I don't know what the word is.
Robust.
Robust. As robust as possible. So how do you do that? How do you replenish them or keep them strong and healthy?
Mm-hmm. So, Alyssa, we started off learning that our behavior and aspects of the social environment and even chemical exposures are related to telomeres from lots of these big epidemiological studies. And then science has moved forward and started to do trials, clinical trials, to say, well, what if you exercise, you know, give people omega-3 fatty acids or exercise or reduce their stress? Does that actually lengthen telomeres? And so far, you know, as a scientist, we don't like to say, yes, something is causal unless we have huge double-blind clinical trials, but there's been a lot of small trials, and they tend to look very positive and hopeful, such that our daily behavior, when we pick up something and make it a habit, we tend to boost our telomerase, that enzyme that Liz and her colleagues discovered, and stabilize telomeres, maybe even lengthening them. So there's a new study that my colleagues and I are in the middle of getting ready to publish, and it was probably the more dramatic one, where we took people, put them into a meditation retreat for 3 weeks. It was actually a month-long retreat, but we measured blood at the beginning and end of 3 weeks, and the telomeres actually lengthened. This was by Cliff Sarin at Davis. And so far, when we think of how to keep telomeres healthy, we think of maintaining them. And we know they lengthen and shorten over short periods. And maybe they lengthen and we can keep them longer. And that study suggests that at least in the short run, they do lengthen when we really give our health a boost. Mm. And mental health is a really critical piece of this.
Right. And we've seen telomere lengthening in big studies, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people over periods of like 5 years. And people whose telomeres lengthened, these were middle-aged people who were not really healthy. And when they lengthened over a five-year period, because they do kind of fluctuate overall, you know, they drift downwards over life, but there is ups and downs. When they lengthened over 5 years, they were less likely to die in the next 4 years than those whose telomeres shortened in that five-year period prior to the 4 years over which mortality was measured. Mm-hmm. So this is saying that, you know, there's real relationships. The genetics of what goes on in humans, when you look at, first of all, rare diseases that slash telomere maintenance in half, like, you know, rare single-gene mutations, they really cause premature onset of bad diseases of aging and failure of the immune system. And now big studies look across populations at minor variations in common variations in genes that affect telomeres very specifically, and you see that those are related to higher risks even of cardiovascular disease, you know, during lifetime. So we think that shortening and attrition of the telomeres has some real causality. It is contributing, among other things, many other things go on in aging, but it is contributing. It's one of the forces going on, contributing to onsets of diseases of aging. So that's important to know, because it's not just, oh, this is just a sign of aging. This is one of the contributors, not the only one. There's other mechanisms.
Yeah, Alyssa, you said something when talking about behavioral things that left out at me in one of those studies that you mentioned, and that was the unbelievable 3-week meditative study that was done, and that people's the telomeres expanded. The thing that leapt to mind was, if you're at a meditation retreat in this modern in our modern age for 3 weeks, the stress that you are dealing with must like fall through the floor, disappear. What is the role of stress in all of this?
Really good question. So we know that when stress is chronic and it goes on for years, that's the type of stress that tends to wear down telomeres. Early childhood trauma also leaves an imprint on telomeres, possibly lifelong, if there aren't enough buffers and restoration. Now, certain personalities make us also more vulnerable to stress. So pessimism and hostility are make us more stress reactive, and those are also related to shorter telomeres. Now, this question about what happens on a meditation retreat is super interesting. So there's no doubt that there's a lot of things happening. You're now not under work stress, you're eating well, you're sleeping better, and you're also training your mind, having hours of focused attention each day. So it's clearly an extreme of restorative. And I've actually, and other people have had the experience of when you come out of that 3 weeks and you jump back into a really busy life, you can have some pretty severe reactions.
Negative reactions.
Negative. So you need to learn that if you're going to go do something extreme like that, you also need to ramp back up to your usual stress level, because it can kind of shock the body and mind and be really stressful go from, let's say, zero on mm-hmm. your stress scale to a 10.
You know, one of the things, I think you designed a study that looked at two, this is in terms of stress, you looked at two groups of mothers. One of the groups took care of chronically ill children. Tell us about that study and what you learned.
Mm-hmm. So in that was our first study over 10 years ago, and we looked at mothers caring for children with a chronic condition and compared them to mothers of healthy children. And what we found in that study was that the caregiving moms had shorter telomeres, lower telomerase, and more oxidative stress, the free radicals. But it wasn't just whether they were a caregiving mom or not. It was the ones who had high perceived stress, feeling stressed all the time. And then in the control group, the moms who had high feelings of stress also had shorter telomeres. So the good news from this study is that it is partly our perception of stress that's getting under the skin to cause the wear and tear. And perception of stress can be modulated. There are so many ways that we can learn to respond to stressful situations in a healthier way that doesn't stress out our cells.
Okay, I'm at the risk of turning this into a 50-minute hour. <where you're, laughs> what can you name two things that can be done that could allow someone to de-stress?
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, mm-hmm. we're in an age now where folks are not only stressful, but you know, anxiety, mm-hmm. And people are on anxiety medications. There've got to be things that people can do that aren't medical.
Move.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Seriously, we're very serious.
Move.
Exercise.
Oh, exercise.
I don't mean move.
Like, move, really?
No,
like where?
No, no. Move your body. No, actually, it's very interesting. Exercise is such, you know, it's such an overused word, and everyone thinks, oh, I have to run marathons and join expensive gyms and things like that. Turns out really brisk walking, even for short periods of time every day, turns out that buffers, alleviates some of the stress-related telomere shortening that happens in chronically stressed people. This is very encouraging, because even if you have a short lunchtime, you can get out and really briskly walk 10 minutes every day. And a small observational study, not so small, showed that related to less wear and tear on the telomeres. Mm-hmm. That was related to the stressful situation. So that's really encouraging, because that says this is totally doable and it's free.
Mm-hmm. My guests are Dr. Elizabeth Blackburn, who won the Nobel Prize in Psychology and Medicine in 2009, and Dr. Alyssa Apple, a health psychologist who studies stress, aging, and obesity. Their latest book is The Telomere Effect, A Revolutionary Approach to Living Younger, Healthier, Longer. We'll hear more from them after a break. I'm Jonathan Capehart, in today for Leonard Lopate. This is WNYC and WNYC.org. I'm Jonathan Capehart, in today for Leonard Lopate, and I'm speaking with Dr. Elizabeth Blackburn and Dr. Alyssa Apple about their new book, The Telomere Effect, Living Younger, Healthier, Longer. Before we went to a break, we were talking about some of the things that you can do to eliminate stress, relieve the stress that ends up wearing down your telomeres, which end up making you look old and decrepit, but it's something that you can do. Many things you can do to reverse that effect. And I went to a break before Alyssa could give the second piece of what can be done. I think she's actually doing the other thing that you can do to relieve stress. She was very quiet, her eyes were closed, and I recognized sort of regulated breathing. Is that one of the things?
Absolutely. We've had a lot of short breaks today, and I try to practice what I preach, which mm-hmm. is that we need short mind-body breaks, that we wear down a few base pairs probably every day through our lifestyle. And if we want to give our body breaks, we need to think about using, you know, not all of us have an hour and a half for doing exercise or going to a yoga class. So it's those short restorative periods that reduce stress physiology and help focus attention. And, you know, a lot of our book is pointing to short tweaks that we can do throughout the day during commuting and transitions back to home that restore our attention and our ability to connect with people and put us in a different state of mind.
So so you mentioned commuting. Most people they're on their phones, they're on their iPads, they're on their whatever tablet they have. They've got the earbuds in. They're in their own little cocoon. Is one of the solutions to unplug?
Absolutely. I think we are so used to that level of multitasking and stimulation that we don't realize what it is like to be silent and to do nothing. We need that every day, at least for a short period. So when you ask me what's another way to combat stress, we're going to tell you about an individual way and a social way. The individual way is that, you know, we all react differently to the same stressors. And there are ways that we can know thyself better. And we have, for example, some assessments so people can see their styles of thinking. There are some universal styles of thinking we all do. We tend to worry before things happen, ruminate after things happen. We have a lot of thoughts, and some of them are negative and we don't even notice. So by becoming aware of our thoughts, we then take away their power to really keep us in a stress state or stress out ourselves. And people can do this through meditation, but also, you know, which is more of a awareness, a metacognitive way to get to know our mind and how it works. But you can also do it through these mind-body exercises we were talking about that give you some restoration. They help us not fall into those negative thought patterns.
And you know, the environment that we are in, and I will speak personally as a journalist who is an opinion writer who feels every word and sentence and paragraph that he writes. There are things that have happened over the last couple of years that have just worn me down to the point where, you know, if you could see a stress meter on me, I'd be hovering in red. There was a time when I was hovering in red for the longest time, and just sort of on my own realized, like, I've got to step away from Twitter. I've got to turn off the news. I've got to, one of the things I also do is sort of take on personally some of the horrible things that have happened. And I'm thinking specifically about the videos that we have had to watch over the last 2 years of unarmed African Americans and police-involved shootings and other things. Is one of the things that we should do is not just unplug, but just pull ourselves out of whatever it is that we're in. Not just... pulling yourself out of your own little cocoon, but just pulling yourself out of the larger cacophony of nonsense that's happening.
I think that's true, but I also think that relating to the world and learning how our relationships to the world can make a difference and understanding that they make a difference to people is very important. And our telomere-related research, and that of many others too, has shown something very interesting, which is that there's influence on, of all things, our telomere maintenance when people are exposed, particularly as children, to severe situations of violence, trauma, abuse, even prolonged socioeconomic hardship. They take their toll in telomeres. And what that's done is really opened our eyes to this is something that we have to take seriously as a society. We even thought, look, if you're a policymaker, you need to be aware of something which we dubbed a term societal stress, you know, societal stress reduction. We should think about that because that is having effects on people's telomere maintenance. And that is one of the things that will really affect likelihoods of getting chronic diseases, which have multiple causes too, but things like cardiovascular disease, things like even dementias, things like diabetes, ability to fight off immune functions, we know that those are impaired when telomere maintenance is impaired, and we see impaired telomere maintenance being actually acted on by these things that we would have thought were societal. So it makes us think very much about relationships. Good relationships and people feeling safe in their neighborhoods turn out to be related to people having longer telomeres. So it's made us think very much that this is one window into much bigger societal issues of the kind of nature that you're talking about.
Yeah.
I want to just say what you're experiencing, what we're all experiencing, is an increase in the societal stress level. We're vicariously traumatized by what is happening to our brothers and sisters, both in America and globally, with terrorism, with hate, with the... And so what I think is emerging, it is true that stress levels have gone up. Surveys have shown that. But that also brings us, when we are feeling in crisis, that we can't control things in the larger world and in politics, it brings us back to what matters most and to values of kindness and compassion. And that's what we can control in our own lives, locally, together. We have an opportunity for a cultural transformation to really embrace what we prioritize and care about most. No one, doesn't matter what political party you're in, no one is supporting the bad players and the haters.
Mm-hmm. So we've talked about now how to reduce stress as a way of building back up our telomeres. Well, we haven't talked about food, vitamins. We talked about exercise. Liz, you said move as one of the things.
Move your body.
Move your body. But are there certain foods people can eat to help in this process?
There certainly are. And the telomere science has pointed to certain foods that pop out individually, like meat and soda being particularly bad for telomeres, whole foods, vegetables, omega-3 fatty acids being particularly good. But here's the general principle. Avoid processed foods, anything with a lot of ingredients, choose whole foods, and try to stay away from too much refined sugar.
Whole foods, not the supermarket, but the concept of
the
whole
concept.
Foods.
We're going
to want to put that out there.
That's right. Whole grains.
Whole
and
grains.
Yeah,
yes,
nuts,
that's what you
nuts.
Mean. And, yeah. And in terms of drink, I read, like, if you drink coffee, that's not a bad thing.
Yes.
Thank God.
Thank goodness.
I was about
We're
to say.
So happy.
So coffee is fine. What about red wine? I know that's good for the heart.
No good studies. If you have alcohol in excess of an average of 4 drinks a day and quite large epidemiological studies, that was related to shorter telomeres. That's quite a lot of alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
And the sort of more subtle effects, there's not really any clear data that says that that's good or bad for telomeres.
Mm-hmm. And any vitamins? Anyone should take to help along?
Supplementation seems to help, but again, the studies are not all that extensive for telomeres. Again, we come back to, you know, healthy eating habits, but if it's hard to achieve, you know, what would be the good vitamin and mineral and micronutrient content in the kind of food habits we're talking about, which is sometimes hard to achieve in urban environments and so forth, you know, one might consider supplementation.
Right, so we underline vitamin D, which most of us are deficient in, omega tablets, like particularly from algae for sustainability. Green tea has been shown to be related to longer telomeres as well. Lots of antioxidants there.
I've been speaking with Dr. Elizabeth Blackburn and Dr. Alyssa Epple. Their latest book is The Telomere Effect, A Revolutionary Approach to Living Younger, Healthier, Longer. Thank you so much for joining us today. There is so much to talk about that we didn't get to, but thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. It was such a pleasure.